Kara's Call by David S. Norris. Chapter 1. It was 7:05, less than 30 minutes until the meeting was supposed to start. Not a meeting Pastor Jim Shepherd wanted, but one that circumstances had forced. Driving north on I-57, he ignored the big tractors framed against the setting sun. Tractors that turned over the best black dirt in the world. Jim loved to see it when Illinois turned green with new life, but not tonight. Tonight looked more like death than life, more like an ending than a beginning. 6 years of pastoring, 12 years of preaching, and it all came down to this. One meeting that could well determine his future. Right now, that future did not look good. Jim chided himself for the kind of father he was. Although his second oldest daughter was the catalyst and the cause for all of this, Jim still had no excuse. He himself had allowed it, embraced it, and even promoted it. He breathed out, "Kara, Kara, Kara, how could I have ever let you get into this?" Jim always cooperated with the district. He was straight as an arrow in his preaching. His finances were in order, and he was morally upright. A man well into his 40s didn't take chances. Because this was his first pastorate, Jim had been especially careful and had never gone out on a limb. Despite all of this, in less than 15 minutes, he would be sitting on the wrong side of another pastor's desk. A man who wanted answers. Answers that would be hard to come by. It hardly seemed possible that only 8 months earlier, everything had been so normal. She hoped that he would not be angry, but clearly he was. The autumn sun had already set, and yet it was still light enough to see the front door of the house slamming shut as he huffed and puffed his way to the car. The vehicle was still rolling to a stop when he jumped into the passenger side of the car. "I'm already 10 minutes late, thanks to you," he barked. Kara was relieved when she discerned the tone of her brother's voice. This was not genuine anger, just junior high speak for, "Hello, how was your day?" So instead of responding, she threw the car into reverse and backed out. "What are you looking at?" said Shay as he caught his sister sneaking glances at him. "Nothing," she said. "If you're staring at my hair, this is how everyone is wearing it." Shay had moved from sporting that slightly tousled faux hawk to a much rowdier version. "It's nice," Kara said quickly, which was older sister speak for, "I like you no matter what." Shay didn't risk a smile, though he would have been disappointed with anything less than full approval. Not that he'd have any trouble attracting girls before this change in appearance. Tall for his age, he had the personality to charm. "I might get a ride from Johnny tonight," Shay announced, attempting to bluff to freedom. "Okay by me," Kara countered. "Just have Dad text me to let me know it's good." His face registered disappointment at being busted and stuck with Kara. He protested further by 20 minutes of silence. Oblivious to the corn that flanked the two-lane highway and now stood ready for harvest, Shay texted, played a couple of games, and then checked to see if the Yankees were beating the White Sox. There was no score yet. Shay didn't look up from the phone until he sensed that Kara had crunched to a stop on the overflow gravel area of the church parking lot. By the time she put the car into park, he was out the door, crunching his way to the blacktop and then into the church. Kara turned off the ignition, debating what to do. She decided not to go to church. It wasn't the fact that she had too much homework or even that events like these tended to be geared towards those who were about 14 years old. It was something else. She didn't want to go in because of her problem. Kara knew she couldn't just sit in the car, so with a long sigh, she unbuckled her seatbelt and got out. Vans from several area churches were parked every which way in the overcrowded parking lot. She had known it would be like this, for tonight was The Encounter, a widely advertised back-to-school rally. The praise band was amped up appropriately, for Kara could feel the bass guitar coming through the bottoms of her shoes the second she stepped into the vestibule. and when she opened the door to the auditorium, she knew she could not stay. Kara had almost flunked her college speech class because of her problem, although her mom had said, "Aw, Kara," and hugged her when she knew about it. Nobody in her family really understood her. They weren't like her. It would have been no big deal for any of them that the only seats open were in the front and that in order to get there, one would have to parade in front of the whole church. This Kara simply could not do. Yet as she turned to leave, something stopped her in her tracks. Out of the corner of her eye, Kara caught the look of desperation coming from her best friend, Amanda. She was the sole inhabitant of the empty row of chairs in the front. Amanda anxiously signaled Kara in an appeal that was not at all subtle. Her friend's predicament was easy enough to see. There was a row of college guys behind her, and they would be staring at the back of her neck the whole service, leaving Amanda to feel like a leftover serving of meatloaf in the refrigerator. Not actually good enough to eat, but too good to throw away. "Only for Amanda would I do this," mumbled Kara under her breath as she put one foot in front of the other on that long walk toward the front. While there was, of course, some risk in walking down the center aisle, it was a calculated one. Teenagers were packed into the auditorium like sardines, swaying on their feet, lost in praise, and even though the chorus was ending, they always worshipped a while after the song was over. So Kara kept walking. That's when catastrophe struck. In a split-second change, the praise leader vanished from behind the pulpit to be replaced by Kyle. Kyle was the assistant pastor. He was a no-lingering-in-the-afterglow, get-the-show-moving kind of service leader. "Sure enough, you may be seated," ricocheted inside Kara's head at the same moment Kyle spoke those deadly words. So there she was, traipsing down the middle aisle like a wannabe bride in all of her glory. The college guy's head swiveled to look at her as she passed them. One dark-haired guy was particularly striking. Either he had just stepped straight out of a fashion magazine or he was a Greek god. Perfect white teeth, bronze tan, and jet black hair. If only Kara had time to change after work, but her afternoon shift hadn't ended until just before it was time to pick up her brother. If only this powder blue jumper didn't make her look like she should be working at the concession stand instead of sitting in service. If only it was not the wrong color for her green eyes and not so fixed up very long brown hair. And if only her 3-year-old shoes matched the rest of her outfit. Kara saw Fred sitting in the row of guys. Fred was her always funny, but more than a little sarcastic cousin who spoke more words per minute than what was legal. She prayed that just this once he would be struck dumb. Yet it was not to be. Fred announced for whoever cared to hear, "Nice you can make it to church, Kara." She would kill him later. As Kara sat down in the chair next to her, Amanda gifted her with a thankful smile, which unfortunately Kara could not fully appreciate. "Funny," thought Amanda. "She's so pretty and doesn't even know it. Wish I had her eyes and her chestnut hair and her trim figure." Kara, who would have felt better had she known what Amanda was thinking, sat like a stone statue trying to calm her heart that was racing so furiously. It would be a full 15 minutes before she could even focus on her surroundings. Her grand entrance had so completely unnerved her that she was oblivious to the offering and the two incredibly long choir songs. And while the whole congregation stood on their feet, energized by the singing of the choir, it was all lost on Kara. Finally zoning back into the service, toward the end of their second song, Kara poked Amanda and asked, "So, who's the guy in the red tie?" "Where?" asked Amanda. "Standing on the platform behind the choir." "Oh, he's the new youth leader from Bloomingtown. I've never seen him before. Just moved there a few months ago after Bible college. Is he doing something in the service?" "You should keep up on things. He's the speaker." "If you girls would stop chatting up there, maybe we could have a little church here tonight," came the words from Cousin Fred from the row behind her. Someone nudged Kara from the aisle side, and Kara turned to see Stephanie motioning for both her and Amanda to move over. "Just scoot in," she said, apparently needing the aisle seat for some reason. Stephanie had a clear complexion, and except for a few freckles, she had a China doll face. Her nose turned up cutely, and her hair had a luster that women would die for. Stephanie took control of the pew at once. She set her purse on the chair after retrieving her phone, checked her messages, sent a quick text, and then put the phone down next to her purse. "Wow," said Kara. "I didn't see you coming in or I would have waited for you." "Actually, I was already here," Stephanie said truthfully. "So you came up to support me?"
Yeah.
Stephanie gave a kind of flirty look to the Greek god behind them, and this prompted another sarcastic remark from Fred. "So then, is this a contest to see who can be the latest to church?" But Stephanie was not Kara. It only took one quick look from her to freeze Fred in place. Fred was tall and lanky, never smiled when he delivered his one-liners. Sarcasm came easy and he simply never got embarrassed. Yet Kara's glance revealed that he reddened under Stephanie's unrelenting glare. Kyle was talking. "Let's remain standing to welcome our speaker, a great friend and, best of all, a great Christian. We're honored to have the youth pastor from Bloomington speaking to us tonight, Josh Peeler. Come on, young people, let's give him a big welcome." Then, of course, there was that wild clapping and pleasantly insane cheering that always attends these sort of youth events. And after the speaker's perfunctory, "Let's give that praise to Jesus," the commotion went on for some time until Josh instructed the audience to be seated. The speaker then proceeded with a normal thanking of everybody and their kin, after which he offered a self-deprecating joke or two before finally getting down to preaching. Kara studied him. Josh clearly wasn't over-the-top handsome, nor was his face bronzed like the guy behind her. But his was a good and honest face, and he had a wholesome attractiveness about him. His hair was medium tousled, tamer than her brother's. What she couldn't quite figure out was whether his eyes were hazel or brown. 11 minutes into the message, Kara whispered to Amanda, her trusted confidant, "His preaching is a bit much, don't you think?"
"You wouldn't think so, the way Stephanie is amening him," responded Amanda dryly. It did indeed seem that Stephanie was attempting to attract the attention of this youth leader, who was quite single.
Kara continued, "Something about the way he says churcha and nawa reminds me of someone. Why doesn't he just say church and now? Do you think he's copying somebody?"
"Stephanie's getting louder on those amens," noted Amanda.
"I thought she was interested in the guy behind us," said Kara.
"Well, maybe she's keeping her options open."
"We're trying to listen back here," came Fred's voice. Then things got better as Josh got into the rhythm of his message. And after another well-told story, he had the crowd in the palm of his hand. The musicians began to play in the background as he began closing the message with his own personal story. He was from a broken home. The Sunday school bus picked him up, and then he got in the youth group. He went to camp and got the Holy Ghost and felt his calling. Still, he was in and out of church in high school. After he earned a wrestling scholarship to college, he was at the altar one night when he finally fully dedicated his life to God. That's when he gave up his scholarship to go to Bible college to answer his call. The best thing he said, though, was that he was on an adventure, just taking the next step to live out God's purpose. He clearly meant it. "I like him better now," said Kara. "He seems a bit more real to me." Amanda nodded obligingly. Josh closed with a final blood and gut story that played well for junior high kids. It was about a rebellious kid who had smashed up his motorcycle, and with his dying breath, he wished he had just one more chance to dedicate his life to God. Kara couldn't help thinking it would have been better if Josh had enough confidence in himself just to finish with his own personal testimony. Teens quickly filled the altar area in prayer. Kara headed forward to pray with the teenager who was crying so intensely that her shoulders were shaking. Kara put her arm around the junior high girl. After praying with her a few minutes, Kara stopped her and asked, "You doing all right?" The girl began explaining that her alcoholic dad had abandoned the family 3 years earlier, and she had not seen him since. Kara nodded,
listening with her heart, affirming her. After a bit, Kara prayed with her once again, yet it was clear that the girl had more to share. As Kara held the little girl's hands and shared her brokenness, the girl continued to talk. The service had its own rhythm, and the music became less reflective and more upbeat. Some began drifting back from the altar to visit with each other, while others stayed to worship in time with the praise band. Kara's attention was distracted by a conversation going on behind her. It was Stephanie responding to questions from the Greek god. "Oh, her. Well, that's Kara. She attends a little home missions church in a small town near here." Kara didn't know her whole life could be reduced to such a tiny soundbite, but she couldn't deny it either. Stephanie went on to talk about her own plans for schooling, her ideas for the future, and even where she believed the church should be headed. Then Stephanie was suddenly cut short when out of nowhere appeared a beautiful girl with long blonde hair who came up to lay claim to the Greek god by simply whispering something in his ear and then whisking him off. Stephanie immediately recouped and headed to the platform to congratulate the preacher on his fine message. "Hey, I'm heading to Denny's and was hoping you'd sit with me," said Amanda to Kara after the dismissal prayer. "Sorry, I've got to get home." "If you change your mind, text me," Amanda said over her shoulder, heading quickly toward the door. Kara sought for and found Thomas, a young man she always tried to encourage. Thomas was talented, dedicated, and good-looking. But she was hardly pursuing him as a boyfriend because Thomas was 2 years younger than her. When it came to romance, the social chasm between a 20-year-old college girl and an 18-year-old senior in high school was one that simply could not be spanned. Shay interrupted his sister, insisting that they head out to the restaurant at once. "Kara, everybody's going to Denny's." "Not everybody," she asserted, affirming that she was in charge. "But I need to go," he insisted. Kara checked her cell phone. "Look, it's almost 10 now, so by the time we get there and ordered, it would be past 11. It would be way after midnight by the time we got home. I have a couple of homework assignments that I need to keep working on, and I open the store tomorrow morning at 7. Shay had not listened to a word she said. Instead, he was planning his next line of attack. "So all you really care about is yourself," he said. Kara, unfazed, turned from him and walked toward the auditorium exit. Shay caught up with her on the way to the car and tried a different strategy. "Just because you don't like people." This, too, had no effect. By the time they reached the car, Shay had surrendered and was about to climb into the car. Kara offered, "I like individual people just fine. I'm just not fond of 90 people who are all trying to get the attention of the same 3 waitresses," said Kara. "Do it for me, Kara." Shay paused for a moment and then said, "There's a girl named Shiloh who said she would like to talk to me more. She's with the van from Pickneyville. Just Facebook her." "Kara, come on. I'll order right away and you don't even have to eat. Just get a Coke or something. We can work it out, please." It was Shay at his most charming. He was even batting his long eyelashes. She started to soften a little. Kara thought about Amanda's invitation to sit with her. It would be nice to catch up with her friend, and because Amanda would already be seated, Kara could probably shave some time off the whole Denny's expedition. It might even be possible to get home at a decent hour. "Okay, but when I say it's time to go, you better be ready." "Yeah, can do. But you don't have to rub it in just because you're older," quipped Shay, back to his usual teenage self.